Cats Community and Conversations, a weekly podcast dedicated to Medicine Hat and the surrounding area, hosted by Linda Tooth and Michelle Marshall. Stay tuned for more.
Well, jello, Linda.
Season three.
Can you believe it?
High five.
Here we are.
High five to our audience as well. Season three.
I know. Can't it's hard even to believe it. I know. I can't believe this all started last year.
I know.
And here we are.
And here we are in season three.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Wow. How was your Christmas?
It was really good. How about you?
Yeah, I watched football.
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of wild to have the NFL fall on like the major holidays this year.
Yeah, it was a little different, but spent my whole day doing that and eating turkey.
Well, hey, you can't go wrong with that.
No.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, we have a guest. We seem to have a lot of guests lately, eh?
We do, but it's good because, yeah. I mean, it's about community. It's in
well,
the title.
It is, and
it's
they probably the get tired of listening to us talk, so we have another guest to start off season three with.
Yes. We welcome to the quote-unquote podcast studio, Chris Johnson from Sinari Center.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, do you want to just dive right in?
Yeah, we might as well just go right for it. We wanted to talk about what Sinari is.
Yes.
Where we're located and areas that we serve and basically what we're doing and all that kind of stuff.
Because we've hinted at it before because we both work at Sinari.
Yes, we do.
So basically we're interviewing our boss.
Yes, we are.
Careful now. Careful. Make the questions easy.
Did it just get hot in here?
It got a little warm.
The pressure's on, ladies.
Yeah, the pressure's on. The heat's been fixed and away we go.
So, Chris, tell us what is Sinari Center?
Sure. Sinari Center is a sexual assault center and a child advocacy center that serves southeastern Alberta. So we serve a really large area, and that's from the Saskatchewan border, the U.S. border, to Grassy Lake, all the way up to Bazano, and then everywhere, Bazano and then Oyen. And so everywhere in between, I often joke and say I'm well bonded with my car. Her name is Camilla.
Nice.
We've got, well, when we roll together that much, you know, I pat her on the dash and I say to her, you know, it's just you and me, Camilla. You know, we get there together when we get back. Synthetic
I love
oil
it.
Change. Yeah.
Let's make some change with Camilla.
That's right.
Yes.
Love it.
That's a really big area.
It is.
Has it always been that big?
Yeah, it's always been that big. It's our portion of southeastern Alberta. We are the only sexual assault center and child advocacy center in the area. And we have, of course, our clinical program. So we have, you know, master's levels therapists on site that provide sexual trauma therapy. And then we have our education program. So we have educators that go across the region into schools. We also have our involvement program, which really is about supporting young men in their leadership skills and in social emotional learning. We have police and court support programs. That's our systems navigation program. So survivors, we help them navigate the justice system. And then, of course, we have our relationship curator that helps with our events and our fundraising. So, like, a real gamut of things. Oh, and then I forgot, we're developing a trauma-informed. How could I forget, Linda? How can I forget?
I was waiting for you to bring it up.
I know. I'm so sorry. How can I forget?
Wow. Make a note.
I know. I will make a note. A note to myself.
Yeah.
We also are developing a HR program to support the well-being of workers in the anti-violence sector. Because we know that when our staff stay in the anti-violence sector and they become seasoned, they're more effective and efficient and they provide better services to our clients. And we also know that this work can hurt our staff in the sense of the consistent trauma exposure. And let's face it, that travel isn't fun either. So how do we keep our staff healthy so that we can make great community change?
Right.
So sorry, Linda.
Well, I'd like to think you left the best for last.
Hey, that's a great way to look at
that
it.
That was an amazing stage. Thank you for the grace.
So my understanding is that you started small.
extraordinarily small.
What was it, about four people?
No.
Was it just you?
Well, this is how we started. And so Sanari has been developing for many, many years, but it used to be called SARC. It started out as Southeastern Alberta Sexual Abuse Response Committee. And what happened, of course, is it was like third wave feminism. Women and children mainly started to come forward and tell their stories of sexual violence. And so Medicine Hat was ahead of the game during the time. And they started, the practitioners started to come together, the social service agencies, to say, what do we do? Because people were coming forward in record amounts. Mm. And so that they started working together jointly, and the committee went for quite some time. And then it was actually Colleen Klein, who was the wife of Ralph Klein, mm-hmm. who brought together a whole bunch of tables surrounding family violence and bullying across Alberta. Mm. And there was very few sexual assault centers in Alberta during that time. And those executive directors, they call this group of ladies, they call them the pioneers in the sector of sexual violence. They actually loaded vans, stayed wherever they could, because of course, you know, like budgets were really low. Mm-hmm. So like they were, you know, it was like super grassroots, and they hit all of those tables to ensure that the issue of sexual assault and sexual abuse actually made it to the table. Mm-hmm. As a priority, because of course of all the individuals that the centers were seeing and all of the unserved areas in Alberta. So of course that was the first time that sexual assault and sexual abuse made it into any government documentation. Mm-hmm. And if you ever go back and read it, because I am one of those weird people that loves that stuff, it's only mentioned in this really huge document twice. But it created seed money and sustainable money mm-hmm. for the services of sexual violence.
Okay.
So following that, Medicine Hat got a very small amount of money, and they put it into the position of a regional coordinator to be able to coordinate that table of service providers in Medicine Hat that were working jointly together. Start out with one position, and that position ran for 3 years in the back room of a local agency. And then that ran for 3 years, and then I started. And then I started in the position. So for a long time, it was myself and then a part-time educator that worked in another organization. Mm. And we worked like that for quite some time. I want to say, well, it was 6 years before we moved from being a program of another organization to a standalone organization.
Okay.
And for that 6 years, during that time, we were able to have myself and then another individual. The money came back to the organization, and we hired a full-time educator. And then right before we launched as our standalone sexual assault center, what happened is there was an infusion of dollars, because numbers of people who had been affected by sexual violence, people were starting to talk more and more and ask for services. So we got a little more money, and basically, the organization that hosted us, which was Medicine Hat Family Service, we'll always be grateful for them. We outgrew. Mm. We outgrew. Mm. And just the space and the needs. So we launched, we became our own charity, and that would be almost 8 years ago now. Wow. It'll be 8 years in March.
Wow.
And so, of course, like 2 months before leaving, we hired two additional staff. So it was the four of us that kind of trundled down to create our own little standalone nonprofit, of course, thankful to the board and to the committee that made the decision to do that. And from that time, in the last 8 years, we've grown from that four original staff up to around 20 staff that mm-hmm. are creating change across the reef, like in Medicine Hat for the region.
Right.
That's amazing.
So that's our history.
Are some of those four still with you today?
I am the only one, you
okay.
know.
Chris is OG. Wow. Now, I'm gonna ask you a stat question.
Oh, sheet. I don't know.
Did you just say oh, sheet?
It's a new word. Oh, sheet.
I almost said oh and beep. But
oh,
I
shit.
Said, that was kind of what I was going to say, but... OG, it was like, oh, she's.
Yeah. So there's obviously a need for Sanari Center.
Huge.
What are some of the stats for people who are impacted by sexual assault or sexual violence?
For sure. In 2020, we actually worked with Ledger and did the first Alberta prevalence study. And this really was one of the first pieces of work since 1984.
Wow.
1984 was the last Canadian incidence study. We took that study and replicated it here in the province of Alberta. And I was really lucky to be part of working as part of that. And we replicated it here. And what we found is that the rates of sexual violence have absolutely increased since 1984. And we know that almost 1 in 2 girls will experience sexual violence before the age of 18, approximately 44%. And almost 1 in 3 boys will experience about 33%. And that's before the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And if you've experienced it before the age of 18, there's a 50% chance, specifically if there's no treatment, no supports, there's about a 50% chance that you'll experience it again later on in life. So this is a real issue that has impacted us all. If you haven't experienced sexual violence yourself, you absolutely know somebody who has. You just may not know it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's awful.
That's staggering.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and it really is.
It's wild.
And I can't believe that in this area we're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Given those numbers and stuff that you shared, that's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And is the government, provincial and federal, are they coming on board a little bit more? Are they realizing the value of this? And what does that look like from a government?
There has been a huge shift in support since that time where, you know, we were loading minivans and sleeping where we could.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't part of that. I came in after that. But I've heard the stories from the pioneers that did it. It's come a long way from doing that and from hoping to see the term sexual violence in a document to now absolutely we're recognized. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of tables that are going on to be able to support the work. And we're working consistently with our funders, both provincially and federally, to ensure that there is funding that's coming into the full province of Alberta to be able to support survivors.
Now, you also mentioned we house the CAC here, the Child Advocacy Center.
Yeah.
What sort of services does that center provide in conjunction with Sinari Center?
So Sinari Center really is the backbone to a collaboration. And this Child Advocacy Center is technically a program of Sinari's, but we don't own it.
Mm.
It is a collaboration between Medicine at Police Service, RCMP, the Crown,
mm-hmm.
Victims Assistance Medicine Hat, and Children's Services, as well as ourselves, to ensure that any child who's experienced extreme child abuse, so it would fit kind of like the terminal, it would fit the terms for criminal code charge. So any child who experiences abuse where a criminal code charge could be laid, that we provide that wraparound service for that child. So the child comes to a child-friendly facility, which we are,
mm-hmm.
to be able to be interviewed and supported with their non-offending family members, mm-hmm. and be able to have that consistent support right from pre-disclosure all the way through the court process to whatever healing looks like for that child and for that family.
And we also, what I love is we also have a facility dog.
Yes.
That works a lot with
yeah.
those particular programs. And I think that's amazing, especially for a child. I mean, adults can access it yes. as well too, but for a child, that can be such an overwhelming and horrific experience that to have the dog there is amazing. It's such a good fit.
Shout out to Sarabi.
Sarabi is an amazing animal.
She's
and we're
beautiful.
Really, yes. really, she's so calm until you get her outside.
Yes.
She's so calm and supportive.
Right.
Of course, until you take the vest off and release her. But she has created a significant level of change for the individuals who access our services, specifically our children, as well as for our staff.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times I have watched. You sound like there's some lived experience there, Linda.
I'm a little annoyed when Sarabi doesn't come into the facility. And I've made that noted with the handler that I am disappointed. Because it's just, she comes into my office, she just lays down, she's looking for treats. I don't give her any.
I don't
anymore. I did at the beginning, but I got into a little bit of trouble. I had to rein that in. But it's just such a calming experience for me to have her there and other staff as well, too, that it must be that much and more for the kids that come in.
100%.
Agree.
She's been a real gift to the center and to the services and, of course, to the community.
Yeah.
To be able to have. And she's got such a quiet presence.
Doesn't she? She's earned the nickname around the office of the potato.
Totally. Because that's what she acts like.
And sometimes you forget she's there. She is just so quiet.
Until, of course, Cooper comes in. Because Cooper is the therapy dog.
Yes.
And Cooper is a bundle of activity.
Yes.
And like an anxiety heat-seeking missile. Mm-hmm. Well, like if you're feeling anxious, Cooper knows and he's going to come and be with you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when Cooper is here, Sarabi is like, oh no. And there's a bit of a competition. As to who's going to get the love.
Yes. It truly have. I've seen it. Firsthand, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I just want to circle back with another question about the education and the evolvement program.
Ooh, for sure.
So this is actually something new that's just launched recently, like over the last 6 months. And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, of course. the evolvement leadership is, of course, one of my babies. And it started out with... a few things. It started out with the knowledge and seeing young men, specifically young men, like 14, 15, who had been accused of sexual violence that didn't have the knowledge and didn't even know that what they had done was wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're entering the justice system and their parents are scared and they are scared. And what was really interesting was actually sitting also with the victims, and they don't want this to happen again, but they also are worried about the future of the person who is perpetrated against them. Mm-hmm. And realizing that there's really nothing in place, or not a lot, nothing's a strong word, but not a lot in place for young men when it comes to social emotional learning and when it comes to leadership. So that piece there. And then, of course, I'm a mother of a young man and a mother of a young girl. And what I realized is there was lots of leadership and personal development and social emotional learning based programs out there for girls and nothing for boys. Right. Nothing. Unless you're involved in athletics. Mm-hmm. And then there's tons if you're a young man. And so it kind of started with all of those. Then looking at primary prevention research for sexual violence, which is deep, but one of the key levers to stopping gender-based violence, period, is social emotional learning and leadership. Mm-hmm. So we applied to Wage Canada to get some funding to be able to start developing. Of course, you know, it's like, you know what it's like around Sinari. It's like, go big, go home,
right.
Innovate, or let's do this right. So we've developed this program that is an in-school program or a community-based program. If we get it in school, it's for course credits, where we're working with young men to develop the social emotional learning. So those key skills like empathy, et cetera, as well as leadership. So we work in schools with that. Then we'll have an after school program where the young guys, and then they're going to work with local adult men who are mentors to be able to continue that social emotional learning and those leadership skills in community based projects. And some of it'll be just pure fun. It'll just be pure fun where they can learn those skills, develop those skills, walk alongside. And then some of it's going to be like volunteering and picking community projects and going out and doing it. Mm-hmm. So there's those two pillars. And then the next pillar is for those adult men who also feel like they're really alone. Like we often hear the adult guys talking about how they feel like they're lone wolves, like there's no support for them. Like the last couple circles, it's called the evolvement circles. The last one that we went to, one guy pulled me aside afterwards and he said to me, "Did I talk too much?" And I was like, "No, you did great. I thought you were very appropriate." And he said to me, "I am so used to not being heard and I'm so used to not being seen that when someone actually listens to me, I think I talk too much." He's like, "I can't stop." Wow. I know.
Wow.
I know. But yet this is exactly the right place for you. So building those connections, building safer places, braver spaces for men to come together to be authentic and vulnerable and lean into other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a really powerful process. All three pillars of the program have been really powerful to be able to work together and provide that mutual support and recognize men as good.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're tired about talking about men as being bad, because
right.
I truly believe that men are good. Men and boys are good. They do good things. They're leaders. They're allies. They too think that sexual violence is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's time for us to rewrite the narrative and say men are good and men are making change
mm-hmm.
and men stand together.
Now, this particular group, how often do you meet? Is it once a month? Once?
It's once a month. It's the second Wednesday of the month.
Yeah.
And it's held at the Legion in the Lancaster Room at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And how many men are you getting typically at your meetings?
It really depends.
Okay.
Yeah. I think last time we had 10 people in the room.
Because that's great.
It's anybody who cares about men.
Yeah.
So we don't care what your gender is.
Okay.
If you care about men and you care about men's issues, you care about men's mental health, come.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's for anyone.
Yeah. Wow. Now, there's a big event.
Dun, dun,
dun. Coming up that we wanted to talk about.
Yes.
And that is our, I've been calling it a winter gala. I kind of put a season to it. But it is our gala coming up in February.
Yes.
Our Light to the Night gala.
Yes.
So exciting.
It is very exciting. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. February 24th, get your party clothes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And come out and join us on a night where we, of course, celebrate the resilience of people who've survived sexual violence, where we raise awareness, where we come together, of
mm-hmm.
course, to... of course, raise awareness, but also to fundraise for our center so
mm-hmm.
that we can continue the programs and services that we've talked about. One of the things I'm really excited about with this gala, of course, is that we're as part of Sonari's commitment to reconciliation, we're bringing in some really amazing, amazing Indigenous performers.
Wonderful.
And we're going to have a hypnotist. Come in. We're going to have a... Now, Linda, I see by the look of...
The nonverbals.
And how much of communication is nonverbals, Linda?
93% to 96%. Are you picking it up?
Well, I am, but just so your audience knows, the nonverbals are strong with this one.
There's no need for a hypnotist in my... I get into enough trouble. Fully awake. I don't need a hypnotist to cause more trouble in my life.
Oh, but as an instigator, I would be highly entertained.
No.
And I'll just sit back and watch.
And record.
Yeah.
Sit back, watch, and record.
I think that's great, though, that you're bringing Indigenous in, because we really are working more and more towards that whole reconciliation mm-hmm. piece everywhere.
Yes.
Right?
Totally.
So to bring that in, I think, is amazing. And to be able to showcase
mm-hmm.
their talents in that type of an environment, I think it'll be a really amazing evening.
So yes. Hypnotisms, singers.
Is there food?
Food.
What? Oh, yes, of course we're feeding people. Like, what's a gala without
food? Oh, thank God.
Food.
Well, we hadn't talked
food
about it. I wasn't
and
sure.
drink. So it's a
fun and a
gamut.
Hypnotist.
And a DJ.
Oh my God.
So
it's going
to
get crazy.
The dancing shoes. To dance the night away.
Crocs?
No, Linda, that's against the dress code.
I told you.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you wear them.
Well, okay. Yes, I do wear them. However, I don't think they would go with my sparkly sequins gown.
Can I just tell you on air here that she was looking at some high-heeled Crocs?
I just died.
And she's like, do you think I should... Could I wear those with my sequined gown? And I'm like,
It's questionable.
High-heeled Crocs?
You yeah. should see them. They're hideous. They've got a heel on them like that, and the front part is like the Croc. Oh.
You can't see my face, but it is almost as, like, worrisome as Linda's was a moment ago.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I swear on this podcast... that I will not wear Crocs to the gala.
Good, because I was starting to think that I needed to put a call out to your listeners for a Croc intervention.
Okay, we don't need to go that far.
I'm not so sure.
We're not quite there yet.
She hasn't brought in her matching ones that her and her husband got at Christmas time.
No, they did. She did. She came in on her day off.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but not to work.
Yeah, no, not to work.
No, because they would have gone with that outfit today.
They would have. Anywho. Enough of the Crocs, okay?
Okay, sorry, I just had to bring that in for a little bit of humor. But so the gala, February the 24th, it's a great fundraising opportunity from a nonprofit perspective.
Yes.
This is what we need and we rely on to help us offer the services that we do.
Yes. Absolutely. The one, our fundraising and community support of Sonari is absolutely critical to sustainable programming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To sustainable programming. Government funding comes and goes and waves. And we want to be able to provide consistent services to the community. We are also without an elevator at Sonari.
Mm-hmm.
And our playroom and our remote testimony room are all on the second floor. So what that means is that children who are differently abled can't support, can't access that.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyone who is differently abled has a real hard time accessing our full services. So part of this gala is to raise money, of course, for programs and services, but we desperately need an elevator because I can't backpack people up the stairs.
No, oh, there might be a health and safety issue there. Yeah, so,
I thought about it.
Maybe not.
But an elevator is a way better idea.
Hmm. An elevator is a way better idea.
I mean, you are that outdoorsy kind of yoga, I love to paddleboard kind of individual.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. But I could see you doing that up the stairs.
I could too.
I would give it a shot.
I could see you doing it.
But our health and safety rep would probably ixnay that. Yeah.
It is definitely a health and, yes, I can see that. Because those stairs, I'm telling you, they're either going to A, kill me, or B, make me a better person.
They do make you a better person. Like, it's just a little bit of time. They've made me a better person. Can't you tell?
Sure. I'm so sorry. Yes. All the way up to the third floor. Yes. You are looking spooked.
Felt.
Has nothing to do with the chips we ate in my office today, but whatever.
None whatsoever. None. Or the pops that are sitting on the table at the moment.
How many things of sugar does yours have?
Look, mine's got, you probably 68. Don't want to look. No, that's not for the full bottle. I promise you that.
Per one bottle, look at 68 grams of sugar.
This is 41 for one and a half cups.
So. I thought you meant calories. Yeah, you don't want to ask.
No.
Don't ask questions you don't want to ask.
Okay, so anyway, back to the gala.
This is a shout out to all of our listeners.
Yes.
That, if you make elevators and you want to come install an elevator, like, let us know at Sonari Center, for sure. And, you know, we'd love to see you at the gala. We'd love to, if you have an organization or you would like to donate funds to Sonari, we'd appreciate that too. If you want more information on tickets and where the gala is and all of that good juicy stuff, head over to lightthenightmh.ca. for details.
Great plug.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And this is why she does what she does.
It's true. It's
maybe
amazing.
Maybe.
She is.
Oh, stop. Well, no, you don't have to stop.
And just to know that those donations are really meaningful to they survivors.
Are. They
really,
are.
Really, really meaningful. And just like we said, if you haven't experienced sexual violence yourself, you most likely do know someone who's had.
You yes,
probably
you do.
Don't know it. Well, that's the thing. Like, I had no idea until I started in this work how many people I knew that had survived sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
And once you become a safe person to talk to, they do talk to you.
Oh, yes, they do.
And healing is possible.
It is.
And it happens here all the time. I get asked all the time, how do you do this work? And I said, I can focus on the hurt or I can focus on the healing. And I get the honor of seeing people heal and do well. And that's what those dollars go to. It's to help people heal and live well and happy people, happy communities.
Can I just ask you on a side note, how many people do you think come through the door of Sonari every year?
Now, are we talking all programs and services?
All programs and services. How many do you think?
Oh,
I don't mean to put you on the hot spot. Sorry, I just had that question and I thought.
No.
To try and give it some context, how many do you think?
Over 3,000.
There
you go. If we look at the full programs and services of Sonari, I'd say well over 3,000.
Okay.
That's huge.
That is huge. I had no idea.
I know. So, hey, go check out the website. Buy tickets. There's early bird pricing, too, on tickets right now for the gala until the end of January. So it's going to be a fun event. It's going to be so much fun.
Michelle's going to be in her sequined gown.
And no Crocs. I promise no Crocs.
I would have almost put a bet on that.
Really?
See, it's almost close. Like a hockey pool. Like listeners, come see if Michelle has Crocs or not.
Now, I'm not saying there won't be Croc accessories.
Oh.
I'm just going to leave that little tidbit there.
Croc does accessories?
I'm going to find accessories.
I did tell her, though, she could bring her Crocs and she could walk home in them.
Yes. Yes. Maybe they'll be in the bag. Although I have a cool bag. Maybe I'll get a Croc bag. Maybe there's a bag, like a handbag, that looks like a Croc. Anywho, that's an off-air conversation.
Intervention.
She needs help. Like, seriously.
Well, okay. On that note.
It's a concern. Like, every day, I think, oh, God, it's going to be Croc day.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Inner, deep, deep soul. I know that's what she wants.
Okay, you realize I only have two pairs of Crocs, right?
Is that it?
That's it.
Why?
What? Obviously, from the chastisation that I get from the community. No, I'm kidding.
Chastisation? Wow.
I don't even know if that's a word.
It is.
I might have thrown it out there.
Well, it is now. It's
yeah.
a word now.
Like you only it. Have two pairs?
I only have two pairs. One's tie-dye and one is like a sweater pattern.
Because it was sweat-a-wetta.
It was sweat-a-wetta.
You have a tie-dye pair of Crocs.
Yes, a rainbow tie-dye pair.
See, okay, confession. I have a pair of knockoff Crocs, but Michelle, they're for the garden and the garden only.
I wear mine in the garden and to the store and to the gym.
And
to other places I go.
When I see you in yoga with Crocs, I am going to video that.
I'm so wearing Crocs tonight to yoga class. Anywho.
What else? What time are we at here?
We are at 31 minutes.
Wow, God.
Ooh, time flies when you're talking
Crocs.
Oh,
oh,
nice.
Just kidding.
What a Croc. Boy.
Well, there you go.
I don't have anything else.
I don't either. Just get out there and join us at the gala. I think it's going to be so much fun. So much fun.
Join us in ending sexual violence.
Yes.
And in creating healthy communities.
Yes.
I couldn't have said that.
Me either.
What a great way to end. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks yeah. for letting me join
Did you have to move some meetings to be here with us?
Or? I don't know. Ask Michelle.
No. No, we didn't.
Your handler.
I just do what I'm told.
Oh, my God. That's so nice.
Michelle's over there singing, I got the power.
Anywho.
I'm surprised she hasn't made adjustments to the dress protocol and added Crocs and seeing how she's got this power to just slide it in there.
There was discussions around a coup. I heard it.
There was. There was a Croc coup.
I had nothing to do with it.
There was a Croc coup afoot. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Anywho, I think we should wrap it up there.
I think we need
to. Thank you, ladies. This was an amazing discussion.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Stay tuned.